So, what comes to mind when you think of the word love? What comes to mind when you think of the word love? When you hear of the word love, what comes to mind? A lot of times we hear the word love and we don't know exactly, many don't know precisely what love actually is. I would assume, though, that most people hear, when they hear the word love, that you have a fairly accurate view of what the Bible or what the source of truth says that love is. But love is one word that seems to be defined by the culture and by the world in a number of ways. Let me take for example, a sign that I saw recently, and it said, "Love as long as you live. Always remember to say, I love you. Do all things with love. Give love. Get love. Love conquers all. Love is the beauty of the soul. To love and be loved is the greatest gift. Keep your heart open. Love makes the world go round." Now, that's just one example. But all of us have heard at some point or another different definitions for what love is or how love can be described. Take for another example. I looked in Webster's dictionary and it defines love as a feeling of strong or constant affection of a person. A person you love in a romantic way. An attraction that includes a strong sensual desire. The strong affection felt by people who have a romantic relationship. But is this the way that the Bible defines as love? Is this the way that the scriptures present love? The Bible contains, it is the source of truth. So shouldn't we go to the source of truth to define what love is? As we look tonight at one of the characteristics of God, I want to leave you with four encouraging factors of God's love. And within these four encouraging factors, I hope it gives you encouragement and leaves you in a sense of awe of how the love of God is displayed in the scriptures. I've entitled tonight's message as "The Love of God at the Heart of the Gospel." The love of God at the heart of the gospel. And I got 4 points for you tonight. The first point, if you're taking notes, is the love of God is everlasting. Or, in other words, the love of God is eternal. In beginning to take a look at the love of God, we must begin with, well, where does love come from? Let's define, where is the source of love? Where does love derive its origin? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. And John explains this so clearly. He explains it so clearly when he says, "Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." So if we want to look at the origin of love, we must first turn to God. God is the source of love. Love derives its origin from God and God alone. So, if you really want to know God, then you love, because at its core, love only exists because of God. God made his love known among us that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. So in first defining where love comes from, we know that God is love. Love comes from God. And then we move forward to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 says, "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him, in love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will." Think about that. God in his love, predestined us for adoption as sons and daughters. Do we ever think about that? Do we ever stop to think about how God has loved us, how he has displayed his love for us before the foundation of the world? That before we ever existed, God predestined us. Job 36 and 26. Behold, God is great, and we know him not. The number of his years is unsearchable. God is eternal, friends. God is eternal. And because he is eternal, his love is eternal. Because God is love. Often, we fail to think about how deeply God's love extends. We don't think about how far God's love extends before us. That God's love was extended to his people far before the world began. Even when we depart from this earth, in fact, God's love will be apparent until his return. So we have looked at the love of God being eternal. Next, let's take a look at the love of God being efficient. And that's our second point, if you are taking notes. The love of God is efficient. So when we say the love of God is efficient, well, what does that mean? What do you say? In other words, God's love has achieved its maximum display of grandeur with nothing wasted or expense. God's love has achieved its maximum display of grandeur with nothing wasted or expense. So as we looked at God's love being eternal, he had a plan in how he was going to reconcile man to himself. His plan of redemption would be executed efficiently, effectively, and perfectly to satisfy the wrath of God that was to be poured out on sinners. The plan was that the Lord would send down his only begotten son as a sacrifice. In this, the prophecy of Isaiah comes to mind in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, when he says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned away everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In verse 8, by oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. Friends, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Father saw fit that the Son would be efficient enough to obtain the righteousness his people would need in order to be in right standing with him. Christ was sufficient. God's love so perfectly displayed that the sacrifice that was presented would achieve the desired outcome. Eternal salvation. Eternal salvation for his people. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 9:12. He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of his own blood, the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. God loved us so much that he sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. This is the supreme display of God's love. This plan that he had before we ever existed was efficient. This plan achieved the desired outcome, eternal redemption and salvation for those who turn from their sins and believe upon Christ Jesus for salvation. If you want to experience this love, you must turn from your sins and believe upon Christ. And so far, we see so many rejecting God's love today. We see so many rejecting God's love through Christ. Is that you? Have you been rejecting the love that God has shown us in sending Christ Jesus? So we've looked at the love of God is efficient. We looked at the love of God is eternal or everlasting. But let's go to point number three. The love of God is empowering. The love of God is empowering. And what does that mean? Because when we hear the word empower, we get a sort of sense that we have the power. We have the control. So what is meant by the love of God is empowering? And at its core, God's love makes us more confident to hope for a life that goes beyond what we can see. So if you take a look tonight at the nightly news, you may see anything from killings to robberies to deception to so much immorality and wickedness. To the average common person, you may say, where's the hope? So often if you talk to unbelievers, you ask, they beg the question that if God is so good, if he's so holy, then why is there so much evil in this world? Why is there evil? And at a first glimpse, we say, this world is horrible. Where is the hope? Friends, the love of God is shown in the gospel. The hope is found in the gospel. The love of God is shown in the gospel. It is the gospel where the love of God is most magnified and displayed that empowers us. So when I say empowers us, you may say, well, what do you mean empowers us? What I mean by that is that the love of God is empowering in that it gives us a confident hope that everything that God set out to do before time began was accomplished and finished through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is no other sacrifice left to be made. Jesus Christ fully served as the atoning sacrifice. And because of that love shown, it can give us a confident hope. Romans 1:16, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Only God's love and power has the ability to overcome man's sinful nature and give him a new regenerated life. The non-believers look at the cross as utter folly, as utter foolish. They look at God's love as utter folly and foolishness. They cannot see what a great love that has been extended in the cross. In fact, 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So, you ask a person what they believe about Jesus Christ, and you can find out all you need to know regarding their acceptance of God's love being extended and whether or not they possess a confident hope of being with the one who has extended his love. You ask a person what they believe about Jesus Christ, and you'll find out everything you need to know about their eternity, where they will spend eternity. So, friends, God's love is empowering. God's love is everlasting. God's love is efficient. And lastly, God's love is evident. God's love is evident. The love of God is evident. You may ask, how is the love of God evident? How is the love of God clearly displayed? Well, all throughout the Old Testament, we see numerous accounts of Israel committing spiritual adultery against the Father. All throughout the Old Testament, you see that. In fact, you see God, he ends up sending prophets to call them to repentance. In the gospel accounts, we see the Father sending his Son, calling people to repent and believe in the gospel. In the book of Acts, we see the Holy Spirit coming and opening the people's eyes to see the truth, the light of Christ. And then you have ages and generations that have passed, which can only bring us to today, that despite our unfaithfulness to him, not that we love God, yet he has loved us. We see generations have passed, and you ask yourself, how is the love of God evident? It's clearly displayed in the fact that we are sitting here today. You see, we were at one time dead in our sins and trespasses, yet God, because of his love, he has called us to his marvelous light. So you want to see the work of God, the love of God at work. And look across the aisles. If you want to see the love of God at work, take a look in the mirror tonight when you get home and think about where you once were to where he has brought you. How you were once in darkness, but now he has opened your eyes to his marvelous light, and you can see the beauty of his Son, Jesus Christ, dying for us when we did not deserve it. Most of us can remember the time when we rejected God and his word, but by his love, it was made evident by the sacrifice of his perfectly righteous Son for a people who at one time rejected him. So if you want to see love clearly evident, then look to Christ. The love of God was displayed by Jesus in how he kept his Father's commandments, John 15:10. Jesus followed the Father's commands perfectly, dying for an undeserving people, following the law perfectly without any spot or wrinkle or blemish. What a great love the Father has had on us. So we have looked at tonight just a snippet of the love of God, and I'm pretty sure we can extend it far beyond the 4 points that we've had tonight. So what should our response be? What should our response be? First, recognize the love of God shown on the cross. That Jesus Christ died for his people. And if tonight, if you have turned from your sins and believed upon Christ, then you can give thanks to the Father. You can look to the cross. He has died for you. And you can rejoice in that fact. Secondly, pray that the love of God is displayed in the salvation of sinners. Pray that the love of God is displayed in the salvation of sinners. There is a lost and dying world out there. And one thing that I've taken just being out in California, I go to Grace and I look at how large Grace Community Church is, and I'm like, wow, it's amazing. But when I stood up at the top of a mountain while I was hiking, I looked down and I said, Grace is small compared to all of this world that's out here that is dying, that needs a savior. So we need to pray that the love of God is displayed more in the salvation of sinners. Because we all have a part to play. We need to pray for more souls to be saved. And third, display the love of God in giving the gospel. This is the most loving thing that we can do. The most loving thing that we can do is giving the gospel to others. In a day and age where the gospel is rejected, sin is celebrated, this is the greatest love that we can share. This is the only hope. The only hope that we have today is the gospel. We can share the message that has the power to salvation. So, if we want to define love or look at how love is displayed, we must look to Jesus. The world defines love in so many different ways. But if we look to the source of truth, we find that the love of God is unconditional and sacrificial. God's love is self-sacrificing. That is love. God's love surrounds us every time we go to his word, and we must be reminded of this daily. No definition of love given by the world could ever surpass the true definition of love given by Christ. So may the love of God continue to be clearly evident in our lives and our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace and mercy and just how your love was extended through your son dying upon the cross for sinners. And we pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here who has not turned from their sins and believed upon Christ, that they do so. We pray even those that have, Lord, that we be reminded of the gospel daily, Lord, that we need you, that we need your love. We need more of you. Be with us throughout the rest of this night and be edifying and encouraging to the hearers and doers of your word. In Christ's name, amen.